You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'd give anything if that little red-haired girl had sent me a Valentine.
Hey, maybe she did send me one. Maybe it's in our mailbox right now.
I'm afraid to look. If I look and there's nothing there, I'll be crushed. I've got to look.
Maybe Charlie Brown will get his Valentine when the postman remembers to get his free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. In fact, we define it as an act of love worthy of St. Valentine's. To get your spouse's car fixed, maintained, and running right, with a call to 323-8650 and a click to perfectionautoworks.com. That's 323-8650. From an oil change to a major service, foreign or domestic, since 1994, Perfection Auto Works has been giving you the love at 323-8650.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Before we begin this political forum for January 23, and this edition, a comment on the past week as the most important week in my 50 years of broadcast history in Tucson. A quick history. I was there to cover the Pioneer Hotel fire, 1970, 29 dead. I was there when a plane crashed into the supermarket, and 1967, 4 dead. I was there when the Air Force jet crashed into the Mansfield Junior High field across from the U of A, October 26, 1978. I covered the Mafia Homes bombing of Licavoli and Bonanno residents. I was there for an anti-war protest on the streets of Tucson, all during the war against Vietnam. I reported on the deaths of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy in the aftermath in our town. I covered the Tucson floods of the 80s, the prosperity of the 90s, and the recession in the early 200s. Over 8,000 broadcasts later that included shows in China, Vietnam, and Israel. Thousands of interviews and hundreds of made friendships over almost a dozen radio stations, TV anchor jobs at Channel 11, 13, 4, and 9, and a brief election to the Arizona State Senate. A play-by-play year of Arizona football, a part of a half-century of broadcasting that has led to this weekend forum. This is not a swan song. This is another chorus in a long-running musical that has a few more acts to perform, which brings me to this day that followed the most important political event I've ever covered, the election of Joe Biden as President of the United States. I believe the presidency of Donald Trump had placed this country on a death spiral that would have destroyed our democracy. The lies, the deception, the corruption would, if allowed to continue, would have led to the demise of America as we know it. Now we've begun a new chapter in our history, facing a killer pandemic that may claim as many as a million lives in the United States before it is contained. Electing Donald Trump was a terrible and tragic mistake. The election of Joe Biden can save our nation. As this week begins this broadcast, I seek out help to remove from office in Arizona those that followed Donald Trump into the abyss. We're talking about State Representative Fincham. And we're talking about Andy Biggs, the congressman, Congressman Paul Gozar. I will tell you that we're going to speak in detail about these three and whether they should answer for their potential crimes. Today we feature Larry Bodine, one-time award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News, lawyer, now president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and writer for the Blog for Arizona, which the Washington Post calls the best blog in our state. Also featured today, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kosacek, plus financial advisor Jim Hanley. So let's get to it. Here's Larry Bodine of the Blog for Arizona. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, John. It's great to be on your show. I'm doing great.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Fincham, if you will. Mark Fincham, the legislator from Oral Valley, member of the House of Representatives. We are not finished with him. I hope not. There is a recall effort against him. Why, in fact, should we look very closely at this lawmaker?
In a nutshell, John, Fincham violated his oath of office. He supported the January 6th terrorist attack on the U.S. Senate, and he's been spreading terrorist lies for months, claiming that Trump was actually elected, but it was, somehow stolen by 81 million people who voted for Joe Biden. So, yes, there is a recall effort underway. I'm doing everything I can in my position to support it. Recommend to all your listeners go to FinchamRecall.com. John, you would recognize Fincham. He's a supercilious dandy. He's one of these guys who wears a black cowboy hat and a Colonel Sanders tie, even though he's from Michigan.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes around in a Western costume all the time, and he advertised, took out a color ad. I have a copy of it saying Mark Fincham is coming January 6th to the U.S. Capitol. When he was in D.C., he was on the Capitol steps as the terrorist attack took place. He was encouraging them to overthrow the U.S. government, and he was, tweeting photos out from the middle of the mob while he's standing on the Capitol steps. This is not somebody who belongs in public office. This is somebody who should be charged with domestic terrorism.
By the way, he lied about that. He said he was no closer than 500 yards from the Capitol. There's a picture of him on the steps of the Capitol. That's closer than 500 yards. In fact,
yeah.
It is the Capitol, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the steps. He was there. He encouraged it. And that's why the recall effort started. In addition, there are 40 Arizona state senators and representatives have met with the FBI and the Department of Justice, and they want Fincham investigated because he belongs to this right-wing group, the Oath Keepers, which its members have been arrested for planning the violent attacks weeks in advance. They, as it was happening, they were coordinating it all by radio, and they announced that it was a war on the U.S. government. So we basically have, an elected state official who wants to declare war on the U.S. government.
You know, he also said at the, I believe, one of the hotels in Phoenix that was going to host the state's U.S. senator that was obviously opposed to the impeachment and also a supportive of the group that marched on the Capitol. He was suggesting that the hotel that refused to host this event or to be a part of this event was similar to the Holocaust.
Right.
That 6 million Jews died was the same thing as this hotel denying Holly a place to have his forum or his particular political event. You can't say that without being bat dung crazy. You just can't say that. You just can't. And that's what he is, and I've said that over and over again. It's time to get rid of these people. We put up with that, with Captain Al Melvin and his craziness during the 1070 war, and then we went on with other people who have said crazy, stupid things and just let them get away with it. We can no longer afford to let these people get away with it and stay in public office in the state of Arizona. We have to do something about it. Tell me what the procedure would be to get him out with the recall.
Well, the recall effort, and I'm going to go door-to-door and collect signatures with everybody, We need about 30,000 signatures, and that will put the recall on the ballot. There's only 120 days to collect the signatures, so the collecting has not begun yet, but it's coming soon, and it would probably put the recall on the public ballot in September. And I think if you go to people in his legislative district, Oro Valley, and you tell people in Oro Valley, did you know he supported the killing of five people, and including one cop, at the U.S. Capitol? They'll sign the petition. If you go to Marana and you tell them 56 D.C. policemen were injured, they were attacked by the domestic terrorist, and Mark Fincham supported them, they'll sign the petition too. And then when you tell the people in Picture Rocks in Maricopa that Fincham, supported the ransacking of the Capitol building by armed looters, I think they're going to come around and sign the petition too. And, we'll finally get rid of a domestic terrorist who's in office.
Now, my understanding is he would have an opportunity to say he would stand against the recall and run. My understanding is that you wouldn't run under a political label. You would run nonpartisan if you ran. At least that's the way I recall recalls in the city and the county and the state, for that matter, that you don't run in an R or D or an independent. You just put your name on the ballot, and then you run against the incumbent if he chooses to stand for recall. So I think there's some oddities that would affect an election that is a recall. And, of course, there's an effort by Joe Morgan and others to recall Raheena Romero, the mayor of Tucson. That's not going anywhere.
that's not going anywhere.
Kind of and Morgan, by the way, was at the Capitol and had marched from the gathering with Donald Trump to the Capitol. I don't know what his involvement was there after he got there, but he was in the middle of all that. Of course, he's come back to talk about how illegitimate it is that Joe Biden is president of the United States. Poor Joe gone over the top, over the hill in his particular political stance lately. Too bad.
Yeah, well, both of them, particularly Fincham, believe that, the votes of 81 million people, a majority, 7 million people, basically didn't count. It never happened. And, there was some magical thing where nationwide, all of the ballot boxes and the software and everything was fiddled with. And, these people have serious mental problems, which is fine. I'm sympathetic to people who need medical help, and, they should get counseling. But not when they're in office, like Fincham, and they're calling for the overthrow of the government. That's just, he's got to go. And if he's not gone by the recall, there's also an effort by legislators to, there's been a complaint, an ethics complaint filed against Fincham to either expel him from the legislature, strip him of his committee posts, and take away any leadership positions that he's got. So, Fincham is going to have to pay the piper. He's facing multiple threats to kick him out of office. And, who knows, maybe he won't run again and he'll, run back to Michigan with his tail between his legs.
I mentioned last week of the enormity of this particular blowback by not only politicians, but also of private enterprise, striking back against those who would say that this election was illegal. And I mentioned the fact that Cumulus Broadcasting and Westwood One, which are syndicators of some of the most successful conservative talk shows in America, have instructed their talk show hosts not to suggest that this election was illegal, or face immediate severance from that company. And that's an amazing thing. And in talking with Joe Morgan last week, he said, well, that's kind of communist. Well, we're not talking about the government saying that we're going to fire these people. We're talking about private enterprise broadcasting companies who've said, look, you continue to perpetrate this lie, you're fired instantly. You will be severed from the. And by the way, Boutros Media, which owns this radio station, has followed suit with that same policy. No longer will talk show hosts on this radio station be able to say this election was illegal. So that's an amazing turn of a switch here that I had not noted.
So.
And I think it's highly appropriate.
You
know, you don't want people consciously broadcasting lies, because there's just too many of these gullible pro-Trumpers who believe everything they hear. And, you know, they're in QAnon, and they're in the Three Percenters and the Proud Boys. And, you know, most viciously, they're in the Oath Keepers, of which Vinchem has been a member for at least 5 years. It's, you know, it preys on ex-policemen and ex-firefighters and, you know, people who are first responders, and tries to turn them into domestic terrorists. So I think that rule change is highly appropriate.
We're talking with Larry Bodine, who is the Blog for Arizona writer and president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Larry, let me take a quick break here, and I want to come back, and if you'll talk about the new chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, the new alignment of leadership within the Democratic Party, and also perhaps the Republicans as well, and statewide, if you have some observations. So let me take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with me, Larry.
All right.
Larry Bodine, Blog for Arizona. Back in a moment. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
From the Perfection Auto Work Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. New Democratic leadership in Pima County. Tell me about it.
Yes, the new chair of the Pima County Democratic Party is Bonnie Heidler. She is a businesswoman who was chair of the Democrats in Legislative District 10, and she was convincingly elected along with her slate. And she plans to continue the progress that was made by Allison Jones and the former chair, and she's going to start pressing the Democratic advantage. Five out of six countywide offices are now have elected Democrats in place, and then on the Board of Supervisors, there's a 4-1 Democratic majority. So basically, it's the Democrats' turn to press their advantage, and she's going to be one of the leaders in that.
What's going on statewide for the Democratic Party?
Statewide, effort has focused on the state legislature. While, of course, the Democrats did very well turning Arizona blue with the support for Joe Biden, electing two Democratic U.S. senators, and, of course, all of the victories locally here in Pima County. But in other parts of the state, the Republicans held their own. There really wasn't a whole lot of talk about what they call the down-ballot races. There also wasn't a lot of, door-to-door campaigning and discussion about the down ballot races. So the Republicans have a lock on the governorship, the state house, and the state senate.
Tell me about Blog for Arizona. People want to know about that, and I go to it all of the time to find out what's going on with progressives in the state, and you do an incredibly effective job of telling me about that. So tell other people what you tell them.
Well, thank you. I'm one of the writers for the Blog for Arizona. We have a wonderful team of writers composed of experienced journalists, some of whom are attorneys. And, you know, we're calling out the Republicans on, you know, all of their disreputable tactics, such as, you know, state or congressional representative Paul Gosar. He helped plan the January 6th domestic terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol. You can find articles about that. You can find out about what the Democrats are up to. And it's just, you know, if you read the Blog for Arizona, you'll get all your news a day or two before the local papers get it. And the local papers do a great job. But, you know, you get a real insider's view on blogforarizona.net.
You know, two congressmen are involved, perhaps, in this January 8th situation. Biggs, Andy Biggs, the former Senate president, now congressman from Arizona, along with Gosar. So they're taking a look at both of them, are they not? I got about 15 seconds.
Yes, yeah. They're, Gosar participated with a leader in the Stop the Steal group. And, you know, people are actively saying, oh, yeah, you know, Biggs and Gosar were part of the terrorist attack planning, and they afterwards sought pardons from President Trump, and they didn't get them.
By the way, Laurie, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our community, but also for being a part of this radio show. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing your weekend with us.
All the best to you, John. Thank you.
Larry Bodine, Blog for Arizona.
Tucson Mobile Notary is one of Southern Arizona's most trusted providers of notary services. All services performed by a bonded and insured Fidelity-approved notary. We travel to you 7 days a week. Our specialties include real estate closings and estate planning documents. We're here to service you with professional convenience, saving you time, knowing it's done right. Call 520-250-2370 or check out our website, tucmobilenotary.com.
There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the new year. Now you can feel a sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood home style gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week.
Cupid, draw back your bow.
Welcome to Perfection Auto Works. May I... Hey, aren't you Cupid?
Yeah, or I was until I lost my job.
How does the Angel of Arrows do that, pray tell?
My car broke down on the way to a falling in love event. They broke up, and the boss fired me. Can you fix my car?
Sure. A free 26-point inspection. Hey, would you please point that arrow in a safe direction?
Sorry, I...
I love you, man.
Go back to work, Joe. Brakes, tires, tune-ups... From a Mercedes to a Chevy pickup, we can do it all, whether it's a tune-up, oil change, or just old-fashioned service. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com.
Cupid, draw back your bow.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, January 23rd. With me, Steve Kasacek, Ward 6 Councilman for the City of Tucson. Hi, Steve.
How's it going, John? How are you feeling today?
I'm hanging in there. Let me ask you about this curfew at 10 o'clock for bars. The states are suing you to stop this. It seems to me the City of Tucson's government ought to have the power to protect its citizens. Isn't that what this is all about?
Well, the court will ultimately decide that, and right now it was the county curfew preempted ours. It's been in effect. They're the ones who are being sued. And the court has decided that until they make a final decision, the curfew is stayed. And so bars can stay open. We have right now, where's the date today?
23rd.
23rd. Okay. We have right under, we are 25,900 and something COVID cases in Pima County this month. That's, we're going to break our record of last month. Fatalities, they're over 1,500 now. You know, it's not fake science. And, I know I hear all the people say, well, COVID doesn't get worse after 10 p.m. and all that. That's a silly position to take. It's not the point of the curfew. The point of the curfew was to say the behaviors that we're trying to control largely occur in bars late at night when people's defenses are down. That's what this was aimed at. The court may very well say, though, you can't target an industry, and therefore the curfew has to go away. Then we'll see whether or not bar owners, just shut down on their own or not. I suspect many will not, and that will just simply be a piece of extending this this pandemic. You know, we saw Christmas, we saw the impact of Christmas, we saw the impact of New Year's. We're seeing right now the impact of students returning to town for the U of A. And, everything that we can do corporately, everything that we can do to chip away at causes is really important. I spent some time on around Main Gate last Friday, and General Benz was just jam-packed, Frog and Firkin across the street, jam-packed, students walking around, just like this wasn't happening. And if I'm a 20-year-old, maybe it's not happening in my world, because all I can do is get infected and have a cold for a few days, and I'm good to go. But the community spread, the impact that young people can have when they pass you and me in their grocery store or wherever, is significant, and people are dying as a result of it. So we'll see what the court says, but I'm kind of expecting the court to say curfew has to go away.
40 dead yesterday in Pima County, 1,571, a total number of dead, a number of new cases reported just yesterday, 858, and of course 94,697 is the number of cases in Pima County. It just seems to me that the only way we're going to get this vaccine into the arms of people, and I've gone through a nightmare trying to get signed up for this. I finally got TMC for like the 2nd of February and then the 28th for the second one. But it really is difficult because they keep filling up and then they stop it and then they fill up again and whatever. Are you alarmed about the slowness of this being able to become a reality for all of people like me, 75 years of age and over, and others who are in just this very first phase of getting the vaccine? And yet we haven't even accomplished the first phase yet, with many phases to go. This is not working out real well.
Yeah, so what happened to 20 million by the end of 2020?
Got me.
But that was the, yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah, no, I think, I know that Pima County Health folks, Dr. Cullen, Francisco Garcia, they are equally concerned about the pace of this. But I have to say, in their defense, and the defense of the healthcare providers, TMC and Banner, and the private ones, like Walgreens and CVS, the ones that are doing the some of the long-term care institutions, the state is who is controlling the rollout of these vaccines to the jurisdictions. They announce who's getting how many doses, when, and we're not involved in that discussion, we being the Pima County health people. Once we find that out, then we can, then again, when I'm saying we, I mean Pima County Health, they're the controlling health authority. Once we find that number out, then we start alerting the various partners in this thing, and that would be, Banner and TMC. Now we've got a site at the Tucson Convention Center. There may be one at the retail racetrack soon, and all those. We started alerting them as to how many are coming and when. But what those partners are reluctant to do is to make reservations for people before they know they have a supply. And what that supply is going to be. And that's the real hesitation, and that's the reason this is such a clunky system right now, is because we're not at the table up in Phoenix saying, being a part of that distribution. We have told Governor Ducey and Dr. Crist that we could use more than double the number of doses on a regular basis than what they're allocating to us. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, they're, you know, Garcia and Cullen are doing what they can to, you know, to really prod the process along. You're absolutely right, though. It is concerning. You use the word alarming. It is alarming because while all this is going on in terms of the vaccines, the ICU beds, the hospital impact on hospital staff simply continues. And you just read off the numbers. It's not as though that COVID has gone away while people are getting their arms poked. It's, you know, these are two parallel tracks, and the virus continues to surge as a result of the holiday activities and UVA students coming
until
back.
Until this virus hits somebody you know, and it has in our family, and it has in close relationships that I have, it was a number to me, just a number. You know, I mean, X number of people have been tested, X number of people have been dead, whatever. But I know these people that are no longer with me and no longer in our neighborhood or in our friendship circle. And that makes it come directly at home to how desperate we are in this situation and seemingly helpless as well. I mean, I just feel not only hopelessness, but I feel a helplessness. Is that rational or just me?
Well, you can only do what you can do, and that is, those are all the things that the CDC has said. You know, we're, 10 months into this thing? Something we haven't mentioned yet are the impacts of social isolation on people, largely seniors. But I would say, you know, throw into that, you know, students, young, you know, K-12 students who are trying to get an education online. The impact on their families, on their parents, trying to be parents and employees of businesses and teachers at the same time. The impact on educators, trying to put multiple lesson plans together and trying to teach their kids through a computer. I'd have flunked out of school if I was in fourth grade when this was happening. I mean, I just needed the you know, hands-on discipline. I was not a, you know, I would not have made it through this. And so there are so many collateral impacts of this. That people, you know, so we talk about a curfew and everybody talking about my liberties and my, your pandemic can't infringe on my liberties. This is impacting the quality of lives all over the world. And for people to be bitching about a 10 p.m. curfew when that's a small price to pay for getting us beyond this, to me, just really irritates me. And, you know, we're not going to see the end of it as long as we get this real divide. This real mental and cultural divide between liberty versus science, frankly, and science ought to prevail.
You know, Steve Kasachuk, it's always great talking with you. I wish I had more time, but we'll have you back very soon. I appreciate your hard work and always been an admirer of yours, still am, still will be, and thanks for being on the show today.
Likewise, John. You're a professional, and I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you. Steve Kasachuk is the Ward 6 councilman for the city of Tucson. We'll be back with James Hanley. He is our financial expert. A lot of things going on in Jim's life as well as yours if you have money. And you need to listen very closely to this man who I believe is the smartest financial person I've ever met. Jim Hanley is my guest after these messages.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue. There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the new year. Now you can feel a sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood home-style gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit AckerleyAdvertising.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, the smartest financial, well, mind I know of. There's Jim Hanley. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Real good, John. Thanks good. Very much for having me.
I understand in a memo that I got from you, you've replaced a mutual fund in client accounts this week. Perhaps you could explain that. And I want to talk a little bit about diversification, essentially to reach investment goals. If you could cover both of those, I'd appreciate it, please.
Very good, John. Yes, I found it necessary to replace one of the mutual funds and client portfolios this week because the fund had reduced its exposure to the asset class it was supposed to be holding to the point where it was holding less than 30% of that asset class. And it had done that during the fourth quarter. So it's very important if your financial advisor is practicing modern portfolio theory that the mutual funds that he or she is holding in the portfolios to represent a given asset class retains their discipline in staying invested in that asset class. And you can actually see sometimes when fund managers drift away from a given asset class out of concern for short-term performance. And, you know, that's probably what happened with that mutual fund that I was holding for quite, you know, maybe three or four years.
Let's talk about diversification.
So, you know, the old saw is that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, it's probably a folk remedy that goes beyond the 20th century. But I think that that in investing terms, in diversification, it's almost a given. Almost anybody who you ask about investing in the stock market will know what diversification is. And it's basically a mix of two broad asset classes, stocks and bonds. Many people will know that the reason why you have stocks and bonds in a portfolio is because they behave differently over time. People know that bonds typically don't fluctuate much in their prices, while stocks can and do fluctuate in their stock prices. And so they do understand that since these two asset classes behave differently in the same market periods or the same market cycles, that when one is performing well, the other one is not, and that typically investors know that the bond side of their portfolio will protect them from a total loss of their holdings in a down market cycle.
Well, that all comes with protecting people. I mean, you know, you've always said to me, well, I want to protect what you have and get what you want. And that's really probably the goals, I suppose, of many financial advisors, including yourself, with your relationship with every client, right?
Yes, it is. It is very important to me to protect my clients from significant downside, events. In other words, so significant losses in their portfolios. You have to keep that in mind, because actually research shows that investors are three times more sensitive to losses than they are to gains. And so even the more aggressive, assertively aggressive client will tell you, I can stand, a lot of fluctuation. They may, they may prove otherwise, and it will be difficult to keep them invested, during those down cycles. So you can actually, and I use a range of six models to assign to a given client, from capital preservation, my profile one, to aggressive growth, my profile six. And you will find in the Capital One model, or I'm sorry, the Profile One model, about 20% bonds to 80%, 20% equities to 80% bonds and cash. And on the profile six, the reverse, about 20% cash and fixed income to 80% equities. And there will be significant differences in the range of returns over the short term between those two. So, and you can actually pretty well predict over long periods of time what the returns will be in those two portfolios.
Jim, tell me about how often you review a client's portfolio. How closely do you pay attention to each one of your clients' money portfolio?
I look at every client's portfolio every day the market is open. And the reason I do this, it harks back to modern portfolio theory and diversification, is that I will see some drift, in the mutual funds, and that is the asset class that fund is investing for. So, for instance, if I have an allocation of 15% to foreign developed equities, if I log on and I see, it's showing it's 15.5%. Well, I may determine what is 15% of the portfolio that day and sell off a certain amount of that mutual fund to bring it back to 15%. And that is a rebalancing. Now, a lot of advisors don't rebalance daily, but I find that it makes a significant difference in the performance of my clients' portfolios. I'll give you an example. I have an equity, which is a value stock. It's international, but it's globally produced and distributed. One day that was down 24%. One day. So if I had not been reviewing the client portfolios that day, I would have missed the fact that had fallen that far that day, and I would have missed an opportunity to buy up. So what I had to do was, because holding now was reduced 24% that day, I had to buy more of that stock in order to bring it back to its allocation. Typically, in the portfolios, it's about 5 to 10%.
Well, people have said about the relationship that they have with your financial advisors, you pay attention. I think that sounds pretty simplistic, but it is really critical to how well you can protect people assets as well as seek financial gain for them. Jim, we're out of time. I want people to call you at 623-3646. You can sit down and talk with them about their hopes, their dreams, and about how you can achieve that hope and dream for those folks by just a simple phone call. 623-3646. Thanks again, Jim, for being on the show. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me, John. I always have a good time here.
Thank you. 623-3646. Jim Hanley. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, the John C. Scott Political Forum on this 23rd of January. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening.
I'd give anything if that little red-haired girl had sent me a Valentine.
Hey, maybe she did send me one. Maybe it's in our mailbox right now.
I'm afraid to look. If I look and there's nothing there, I'll be crushed. I've got to look.
Maybe Charlie Brown will get his Valentine when the postman remembers to get his free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. In fact, we define it as an act of love worthy of St. Valentine's. To get your spouse's car fixed, maintained, and running right with a call to 323-8650 and a click to perfectionautoworks.com. That's 323-8650. From an oil change to a major service, foreign or domestic, since 1994, Perfection Auto Works has been giving you the love at 323-8650.